You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Yes, the joys of live radio. Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted you're here, and I hope you are delighted as well. Funny things happen sometimes with live radio, do they not? If you're joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. You're in good company. We've got folks from all over the world tuned in from about 95 countries, I believe. And so you're here, and we're glad that you are. Hope you make a habit out of it. Be sure that you sign up for our free weekly newsletter called the K-Files E-Zine. Some of you who have an email address over at Comcast have not been getting your E-Zine. That is because Comcast, for some reason, suddenly decided that they were going to identify that e-zine as spam. So I filed my complaint with them, and they unblocked it. So you should start getting it again. So if you have a Comcast email address and you haven't been getting the K-Files, but you are subscribed, that should be taken care of with this edition. Once in a while, I get asked, what's in the members area? Why should I subscribe? Well, first of all, let me tell you, you should subscribe simply because you like the show and you want to help support the show, right? But I don't think that's enough. I think you ought to get something for it. So here's what you get. All of the shows go into our members area as podcasts. You can listen to them online, or you can download them to your iPod and take them with you. They all go there. Now, with this exception, all right, if we happen to do a rebroadcast one night that show is already in the podcast, then we don't put it in again. It's already there, all right? So, but with that exception, everything that we do, every show you hear, goes into the, we call it K-Pods, all right? There's also forums there. There's a chat room. It amazes me, though, sometimes members, you know, they register, and, when they become members, they register for the members area. And then I start getting emails about how they can't get into chat. Well, register in chat, and then you can. It has to know who you are. There's also a library of free downloadable ebooks there, and more of them coming. There's a bunch of them already in there, but there's more coming. And then we have, whenever there's some special something that comes up, for instance, if we have some special, like if I sell Gods in the Garden or some other book on a special promotion, the people in the members area get a special price, and they get it first. You want to be a part of that. Believe me, you do. My guest this evening is Jeff Woolline, and even Jeff has no idea really what we're about to talk about. We'll be back right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel All-Star with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments. So click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles and free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. My guest this evening has been with us before, so you'll be familiar with him, Jeff Woolline. And let me just go ahead and welcome Jeff back to the show. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, Kevin. Always an honor to be here.
Part of what we're going to talk about this evening will be familiar to you and will be familiar to some of the audience because we've covered some of this before. It's just a little refresher course. But then some of what we're going to discuss tonight is going to be a surprise to both you and the audience.
So I'll just warn you. You can be nervous now, but it'll be good. You'll like it. It's just that there's part of the information that I have not discussed with you previously, and I think you're really going to like it. By way of introduction to those who do not know Jeff, Jeff is a very prolific videographer of strange phenomena in the skies above Phoenix. And as long as Jeff was, when he first started out, he was of the frame of mind that all of these things were typical extraterrestrial vehicles that we call UFOs. As he investigated, and then as he researched the things that he found in his investigation, he ran across evidence that led him to think otherwise, led him to think that many of these things are living entities and not vehicles. So when that happened, something else happened. And I think it's pretty interesting that the times seem to sort of correspond. But Jeff began to be subjected to some of the worst, most slanderous, hateful criticisms that I have ever seen anyone have to endure. And he just hung in there and stayed the course and kept doing what he was doing and has come out on the other side of this vindicated. I applaud you for that, Jeff. I congratulate you and applaud you for that.
Thank you, Kevin. You've
earned my respect. I don't know what that's worth. But,
it means a lot coming from you, Kevin.
But you've earned my respect. And he's found a lot of things that other people have just glossed over. One of the most interesting things about you, Jeff, is a statement that it's not the only interesting thing, but it's a very intriguing thing. A statement that you made here on this show last year when you said they didn't have video cameras back then, and so the ancient people carved what they saw in the sky on those rocks. These rocks are the videotapes.
That's correct.
And the more I thought about that, the more I determined that just makes sense. It makes sense. And so what we have are truly first-hand accounts, testimonies in rock of what ancient people were seeing. Now, on my website tonight, I hope you don't mind because I didn't ask your permission. I went to your site, one of your sites, Petroglyphs in the Sky, and I copied the photo you have of the Phoenix lights, and then it's inset into a larger photo that shows a petroglyph that seems to show the Phoenix lights.
Oh, yes, that's one of my favorite photographs.
All right, now, here's something that brought down a lot of criticism on you, and I want you to address this. You moved from saying that these are vehicles to saying these are living entities, and that brought down a lot of criticism. Now, looking back on the criticism, have you changed your position? Or
absolutely not.
Absolutely not? Okay.
No.
And let's talk a little bit about why, and then I'm going to tell you something you don't know. So why? Why did that not affect you?
When they started criticizing me because of what I, the conclusions that I came to.
Yeah. I mean, you know, most people, when they get criticized, especially the way you got criticized, it was withering. Yeah, well, most people would just sort of pull themselves into a shell and say, to heck with this.
You know, anybody that, you know, maybe, but, you know, with something like this, you know, it's real. It's there. I studied it. I sat by that mountain, and all I did really was pay attention with my video camera. I went out there. I saw these things come and go from the mountain, and I went out there to investigate, you know, thinking I'm going to find a crop circle. I'm going to find some kind of evidence that these things were here. But yet I find a rock, and it shows pretty much the same sighting that I filmed just days before. On the same spot where this thing went down at, you know, no evidence this thing was here at all. No evidence of a spacecraft or anything like that, but yet clearly something went down. The video camera shows that, you know, something was in the picture there, and yet there's no evidence of it.
All right.
And I guess
I'm going to share something with you that you don't know. First, let me say this. Let me make this quick announcement. On the website right now, our opinion poll asks, or it makes a statement that some UFOs may be living entities. And then you can agree, disagree, or no opinion. I think those are the choices. Right now, 92.8% of those of you who have responded have agreed that they may be living entities. So you see, the criticism, and I always suspected this, the criticism is not coming from the masses. The criticism is coming from the mouses. And 92.8% have said they agree that these may be living entities. Now, you may know about a UFO that exploded over Vietnam. I don't know if you heard about that.
Just recently?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did hear about that.
Well, I ran across a follow-up article on that that said that, and they went out and picked up big chunks of it. And there were pictures of the police, you know, carrying a chunk of it that looked like it was about 3 feet long. They said it was very lightweight. It was silver in color, silverish in color, and very lightweight. And they analyzed it, and they said it's not metal. They said it is some type of biological material. A biological composite. That's what they said.
Ah, it's living.
That's what they said. All right, now here's something you don't know. And this is something that the audience does not know. You know, you do know that we are moving toward putting this show into video format so that people can watch it live, right? I told you about that, right?
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Well, in preparing and getting guests lined up for that phase once we take that step, and we're getting close. We're very, very close. I came across a guest who started describing for me things that he's been seeing out near the Australia Mountain for years. And one of the things that he said was, he said, man, they come in, he said, I've seen them come in at like a 45-degree angle and fly right into the mountain. And 2 or 3 seconds later, they fly out the other side.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And I thought about you. I thought about you when I heard this. I thought about you. Now, we don't have that on video, but let me tell you, I have some video that has never been broadcast before, and major media and major television productions have tried to get this guy to turn loose of this video, and he's always refused. But this video is as clear as you will ever see. And it gets a good close-up of these things in the sky as they hover for minutes and upon minutes before they move away. And, you know, I'll tell you, Jeff, at first, you know, the camera is it, they didn't use the zoom lens at first. And this is a broadcast-quality camera. They didn't use the zoom lens, but you can see these lights up in the sky. Okay, well, there's some lights in the sky. Then they used the zoom lens, and they got up close and personal, and I'm going to tell you, it's like an orb, except there's a tiny little hole in the middle of it, that kind of like a donut, and you can see it very clearly. It's a sphere, but it's transparent, and you can see that same little hole on the other side of it. You can see through it and see that same little hole on the other side.
That's wonderful. That's awesome.
That's how clear it is. But let me tell you what's going on inside this thing, because you can see inside it. There is a central point of light, but inside it, it looks like one of those Tesla bulbs.
Is that right?
Yeah, there's it's like
pulsating.
It pulsates, but I mean they're very distinctive patterns of light that take place in there, and you can see at one point it turns into, it looks like a whole bunch of spokes on a bicycle wheel.
Ooh, hey, that's neat.
And spinning all around, you know.
Ooh,
that's neat. And it changes colors and it keeps its shape. But it changes colors and changes the light show. And, you know, you'll see them move around, and then you see one of them will just blink out. And then in a little bit it comes back on, you know. And,
well, it definitely sounds like it's them, you know. That's all the characteristics of these supernatural creatures. Can't wait to see the footage. This sounds awesome.
It is the most awesome footage I've ever seen because, you know, normally whenever we take videos, you know, if I go out and take a video of something that's up in the sky, I'm going to do my best, but my video camera is, you know, it's not a broadcast video camera. It's a good one and it's digital, but it's for a family. You know, it's a consumer model.
Sure.
And so, you know, it's got limitations that the broadcast cameras can go beyond. Now, the reason they had these broadcast cameras out there is because they had been seeing these. And, you know, they just set up to see if they would see them again, and they did. This video is from about the same time when you started going to South Mountain.
Well, that's great, Kevin. That's wonderful. I mean, it's you know, this stuff has been going on for a long time, and I just think, you know, it's just now when people are just now starting to take notice of this, you know. So, in my opinion, you know, those things have always been here. You know, they've always been with us.
Well, have you seen any of the things in the sky that are similar to what I've described?
Oh, sure, yes. You know, when you describe a donut, you know, that kind of describes one of the flying T-crosses that I saw. You know, it was red and it had a circle in the middle, and it was changing. You know, it was spinning around, but as it was spinning, it was turning into a cross, and then it went into a ball. But it completely kept that center circle the whole time. And this is fascinating because some of the petroglyphs out there, they show the circle disc, if you will, with holes in the middle. And it's also interesting that in some portions of China, I believe it is, they found these stones that are circle in shape with holes in the middle.
Yeah. Now, have you ever seen that footage? In fact, you may even have it on your website. I don't know. But the footage of, they call it the Tether Experiment, when NASA They tried an experiment. I believe it was 1992. They tried an experiment, and they had this ball on a string, so to speak.
Yes.
And the mm-hmm. string broke. Well, that string was a cable, but it was about the size, diameter of a matchstick. All right. Mm-hmm. When they came back around, they were 89 miles away from it. But they could see it. And in fact, this thing started glowing, and you could see it with a naked eye from Earth. I know, because I stood outside and watched it with my family. But if you ever see that footage, when they came back around and they put their video cameras on it, you can see massive UFOs flying around that tether.
Yes, I did see that. It was like it was drawn to that. And
remember what they were shaped like?
Those circles. Circles with, the
like a donut.
Yes. And another characteristic in that is one sliver was kind of cut out.
Yeah, at the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like kind of cut out, you know, so that was kind of interesting.
Maybe they do that for space flight, and then when they get into the atmosphere, they have to add it. I don't know.
That could be.
Now, let me add some spice to this. We're going to do a show with you, too. I'm going, finally, to go up to the mountain with you, and we'll take the camera crew along, and we're going to do a show, and maybe we will see some of these things while we're up there. So what about this season? Have they been active yet?
Oh, yeah, Kevin. You know, I do tours on South Mountain up here, and I pretty much explain to people on basically what I did to see these things. You know, you go up on the mountain, and you see the petroglyphs, and you just acknowledge that these things are here and they're real. And, you know, eventually you'll see one. Excuse me. But for some people, it's been really tough on me these last 2 years, you know, because some people, you know, they're interested in this, and they go up there and they take the tour with me, and they expect to see one right off the bat. And I tried to explain to him, look, it's really, you know, not that easy. You really have to do a lot of dedication, a lot of studying on this mountain, and just simply watch, you know. Just because you don't see something that first day doesn't mean that you're not going to see something. You got to stick with it. Another thing, too, is I've come to find out, I've had a lot of people, one person started seeing them. Okay, I took him on the tour, he started seeing them, and he freaked out, and I haven't heard from him since. So I don't know what happened to that guy. I don't know what's going on with him. Then some people, I take them up there, and they don't see anything at all. Well, doing, you know, just in my investigations and my work with this, it comes to find out through my own experiences that people who have already seen these things are more likely to see them, you know, at the mountain or, you know, as we're going back to the mountain and they're learning about the petroglyphs and thinking about, you know, these things and blah, blah, blah. I think it draws these things closer to them. And I think the people who has already seen them has a better chance of seeing them than someone who is just wanting to go out there and just, you know, take a look-see. You know what I mean? For someone who has never seen one before, it's going to be a little bit harder for them to go out there and to actually trace them down. I'm not saying that they won't see them, yes, eventually, because they're there. It's just these things, in my opinion, in studying and watching these things and dealing with them, they're like a supernatural animal.
Yeah, but you know what? I've seen it. I've seen one. No, yes. I've seen two of them. I've seen the barbell, the one that's shaped like a barbell, and I saw one that was just sort of shaped like a canister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't even looking for them. I just walked outside to take a break and to get a breath of fresh air and stretched and yawned and looked up, and what is that?
And that's how it starts, bud, and that's how it starts.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Let me remind you about the Thailand trip. It is beginning to firm up a little bit, and I will be sending those of you who have already responded, don't panic because I didn't respond yet. I didn't reply yet. I saved your email, and I will be sending a little newsletter update to you. It's beginning to firm up. We're trying to put this together for late October, all right? And the reason is because of a very special festival that happens there, and I want you to experience that. It is it commemorates. There's a story in Buddhism about, especially in Thailand, about Buddha returning from heaven where he had been visiting with his mother, and he returned on a stairway of silver, gold, and crystal. And this is a commemoration of that. You've got to see this. You've got to see it. But it happens in late October, and there are a lot of other things that we will see while we're there. If you're interested in going with me to Thailand for this sort of magical mystery tour, maybe I shouldn't say that because I think there's an album by that name. So for this mystery tour, if you want to go, you think you're interested, I need to hear from you. And what you need to do is you need to send me an email. So go to the Contact Us page and select Other as the subject. And just send me an email telling me that you're interested, you want the information about it, and we'll as we firm this up, we'll send that out. My guest is Jeff Woolline, and we're talking about these strange lights that, and not just lights, because a lot of these appearances are in the daytime. So these strange things that are seen in the skies above Phoenix.
Jeff, I mentioned as we got into that break that, you know, I walked outside the first one. I just walked outside of the office one day and looked up, and really wasn't even trying to look up. I was stretching and yawning, trying to wake up because I'd been sitting in an office, and that always puts me to sleep. So I'm just kind of stretching and yawning, and I look up in the sky, and not even looking for anything, and there it was. And it was west of downtown Phoenix. It was in line with the Civic Center, but west, probably 4 or 5 miles to the west, if I had to guess. And it was up fairly high, I would say probably 4 to 5,000 feet. And it was shaped like a barbell. I went back in the office and got the binoculars and went back outside and looked at it. And at first, it was kind of squirming around up there, kind of moving around. But it wasn't moving laterally, nor was it moving forward or backward. It was just sort of in place but moving. We had a high wind that day. If this had been a balloon, it would have been carried by the wind. This was no balloon, and then it moved against the wind. So that was my first experience with these things, and then you came on the show and talked about the barbell. In fact, on your one of your websites, you have a picture of the petroglyph of the barbell. I've seen it.
Did this thing appear to have like an aura around it?
I wouldn't say it appeared to have an aura. It appeared to have, it was hazy around it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You got one, bud. That was it. Those things are there. And it's fascinating. And that's pretty much how it starts off, you know, with all of us. You know, we're just not really paying attention, just kind of looking up, and holy cow, there it is. You know, and it's like, what is it? You know, because there's so many things going through your mind at the time. You're thinking, okay, is it an airplane? Is it a balloon? Is it a remote control craft? Is it a kid's kite? You know, and you're sitting there staring at this thing because you're at all, and it's like, and then before you know it, it's gone. And you have you have no, you know, evidence and no proof of this, just the memory that you had, and it's just like, you want to go find some answers, you know, and especially when you start seeing them over and over and over again, and it's just like, you have to go find out what's going on, and don't let other people influence you, but decide for yourself, you know, you do the research, you know.
There was another one that I saw. It was from that same office. After that, I was out looking frequently, and that one was sort of like a canister. I mean, or like a 55-gallon drum, 55-gallon barrel. It was kind of that shape. Bigger than that, but that shape. And it was very silvery, very, very highly reflective.
It wanted to be seen.
I'm sorry?
It wanted to be seen.
Apparently.
Yeah.
It did the same thing. It stayed in place for a long time. And, again, we had pretty high wind, which, you know, the people who don't live here don't know. Out here in the desert, once a wind gets started, there's not a lot to stop it, you know. And so we do get a lot of high wind here. We had high wind today, a steady, strong wind, and 113 degrees.
Yes,
so,
sir.
You know, it's like being roasted in an oven. But this thing, every once in a while, one side of it would turn like candy apple red.
Mm. Mm.
And it would stay that way for a while. And then you'd see it dissolve back into the silver.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm.
You've seen that?
Sure, many times, yes. They change colors, and sometimes you can see through them, you know, and when they're leaving the mountain, they're like a spirit form or they're a ghost form, you know. You can kind of see through them, and as they ascend, they become more solid, and they shift shape, and then they start to appear like colors and stuff, you know, it's just incredible, you know. You're at all at what you're seeing because you just can't really get a grasp on it, you know.
Well, I'm hopeful that when we do our show with you that we just may happen to catch one or two of them on video. On the other hand, if we do, we do. If we don't, we don't. But what I want people to see, I'm going up on the mountain. I've been on the mountain before. But I'm going up there with you and allow you to educate us about these petroglyphs, and we'll show folks some of the videos of those very shapes carved into the stone, but then those shapes flying in the skies above Phoenix. And I'm very hopeful that while we're there, we may actually be graced by the presence of some of these things.
Well, it's possible. So it's increasing every year. That's what I seem to notice. Ever since I started paying attention in 2004, you know, it's just become heavier and heavier. In my opinion, what's going on is a little mini invasion here. I think, in my opinion, the more and more we get closer to 2012, each year is more coming. And so I just think it's very possible we'll might see one up there. And another thing, too, is what I've kind of learned in doing this for a number of years is when you get off the mountain, you go up there and you see them and you talk to them or whatever, and you look at the petroglyphs or whatnot, and then you get off the mountain, then is the time to really pay attention. I don't know why that is, but it's happened to me, and it's happened to another guy. Just recently, I'd like to talk about this new sighting whenever you get a chance. But
we have the chance. Go ahead with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I took this guy up on for a tour, And he stuck with it. He stuck with it for about 3 weeks to a month or whatever. And, you know, he's really into it, and he's studying, you know, the Mayan prophecies, and he's doing his homework and stuff, and he's really into this. Of course, he's already seen these things when he was a kid. He was born and raised here in Phoenix. Matter of fact, him and the Boy Scouts used to climb South Mountain and take a look at the petroglyphs, you know, not really knowing what it's about. And now as he's older, you know, he's seen these things, and he tracked me down through the internet, and I took him up on the rocks, and he stuck with it. And one day we went up there, and I took him to this one site I haven't been to in a few years. I went to go check up on something, and while we were there, you know, kind of introduced themselves and this and that, and we took a little break there, and we looked at the petroglyphs and stuff, and I had another appointment. So as soon as I was done with the tour, I had gone home. Well, him and his friend stuck out the mountain for a little bit, and then he went home. But when he got off the mountain, when he was getting ready to, you know, to get us to his front door, he just was paying attention, and he looked, and he saw something, and he's like, "Oh, wait a minute," you know, and he jumped on the camera, and they chased it down. They chased it all the way back to South Mountain, and by the time they got there, it was, according to them, they saw it right over the mountain, and it came to them. While they were going to it, it was coming to them, and they pretty much met each other right there in the middle of South Mountain there. Of course, they jump out of the truck, and they're filming this thing, and first, you know, they're kind of confused, you know, and they're like, "Well, wait a minute, is that balloons? You know, those look like balloons, don't you?" And then later on, as he watches shift shape and change, you know, colors and just do this weird stuff, you come to realize, wait a minute, and he's saying to himself, this can't be balloons, you know? And they sat there and they watched it, you know, trying to figure out what it was, and they kept saying, "Well, it looks like a snake. It looks like a serpent. It keeps changing shapes, you know? It keeps changing colors."
Jeff, we'll have to get to the rest of that story right after this break. We'll be back, folks.
In the one that can't be hurt, you're You're everybody's home tonight. You're everybody's home.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Would you do me a favor? As you look at our player, there is a button that says share. And if you will, click that and then put in the email addresses of several of your close friends. And then you click submit. And what happens is they get an email saying that you're inviting them to check this show out. I really would appreciate it if you would help us with that. Some of you already have. I'm looking at the numbers for tonight, and they're always excellent, but these are up, and that's good. One other quick announcement. Tony, part of our family in Australia, part of our listening family in Australia, as you know, had a heart attack, and I got an email from him today thanking all of you for all of your prayers and for all of your good thoughts, his direction. He got out of the hospital. He's got to take it easy for about 6 weeks, but he soon will be back with us. And that's good news. I would imagine he may be listening right now. So, Tony, that's great news. We're glad that you're recovering and that you're home. All right.
We're on top of the mountain, and your person that you had taken up there and sort of trained and what to do and how to do, and he's on top of the mountain, and the thing is approaching him, and now what happens?
Well, him and his friend, they're out there, you know, they parked the truck right in the middle of the road there, and they're kind of looking at this thing, and he's like, wait a minute, hold on, you know, we got to pull over, and so They sat there and they watched it, and, you know, they both came to the conclusion. They called me and said, Jeff, we're looking at something right now. And I'm like, holy cow, really? You know, I said, well, get on it, you know, film it, you know, what does it look like, you know? And they were just at all, they're like, well, sometimes it looks like a snake, and then sometimes it looks like a bird, and it's changing colors, you know? And so they sat there and they filmed it for a while, and then it started to go away. It started to head right back to the mountain peak where it came from. And so he was like, hey, we got to chase this thing down. But it got away from him. But
they got all this on video?
Yes, and it's on my website. I don't have the full sighting up yet, but I did make his interview. I got him and his friend's interview, and his name's Nathan Dennis. I got his interview, and I put together pretty much what they saw, and I zoom in on this thing, and it's something, Kevin. You know, it doesn't resemble balloons at all. It doesn't move like balloons. You know, balloons would be flapping around with each other. And another thing, too, when you look closely at this thing, it separates the clouds. You know, you can see the clouds. It separates from each other, and then it connects. So, you know, balloons don't do that, you know, and he was just at all, and, you know, to this day, you know, he's still calling me, you know, because he's not allowed to bring his camera to his job, but it's not a day goes by when he's calling me up saying, Jeff, I see another one, so, you know, it's true, I've been waiting for somebody, you know, that had enough dedication and enough passion as I have to actually test out my theory, man, you know, you go out there and just try it, you know. And I had a lot of people do it. A lot of people came and go. This one person started seeing the lights and out there on the Australia mountains. And we were in contact for a while, and his son was getting freaked out, and then all of a sudden I didn't hear anything from him. And then a few weeks later, lo and behold, Nate shows up. And, you know, he stuck with it. And what had happened? Holy cow, he got something. He saw something. You know,
out around the Australia mountain, the other person that I was talking about earlier,
yes,
says, and now in the video, I actually counted seven of these objects, or things, whatever they are. But he told me that he has seen up to 20 at one time.
Oh, sure, yeah, that doesn't surprise me a bit. You know, I've talked to some people that have said, you know what, I've seen a string of those things, and they look like circles with dots in the middle and black legs hanging down from them. And he says, you know what, man, I was staring at those things for like 20 minutes, and they were just suspended out there. I must have been about 7 or 8 of them out there. And I was like, wow, man. I was like, did you get a camera? And he's like, I didn't have a camera at the time, but there's something there, you know?
Yeah. And, well, he told me that they were back the other night. I don't know, 2 or 3 nights ago, those same things were back. And I haven't had a chance to talk with him about, you know, the timing during the year and so forth. But
right.
You have said right, that they sort of come and go in cycles.
Yes, that was going to be my next question to you. Do you know if... you know, if it was close to the solstice, because like right now, you know, right at the end of the solstice, we're getting ready to have June 21st is coming up here pretty quick. Now those things are flocking right before the 21st. This is my own experience in watching them on the east side of South Mountain. Right before the 21st, holy cow, it's heavy. There was like one day I saw them like 5 times in a row. They were so heavy. And then right during the 21st, during the solstice, I didn't see anything. And within about a week or two after the solstice, that's when they started to come back, little by little. As soon as it started to get in the middle of the year or whatnot, you know, and then closest to the next equinox, they were heavy. As soon as they get to the equinox, holy cow, they're here. And then during the equinox, they're gone. And then after the equinox, they're here.
This was in February.
Right, all perfect time. There you go. Yes, it would be heavy. January, February, March. Holy cow, bud, hang on, man. There they are, because they are there. That's the time. They come with the seasons.
Now, do you have a theory about that? Why do they show up with the seasons?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know, the Indians track them, too, with the light and shadow markers here, with the spirals and stuff like that, and the light and shadows with the markers. As the light and shadow makes this pyramid formation, it cuts through the doorway spiral. And there's a lot of times either the pyramid will cut through the spiral and go up, and that in watching it, that, according to me, you know, watching the things, you know, the doors are open, but when the spear goes down, cuts through the spiral and goes into the rock or goes into the ground, and according to, you know, I think that the doors are closed because they're not around anywhere. But it's
so what you're describing is a petroglyph that is a spiral.
Right.
And there's something that's causing a shadow to be cast across that spiral.
Yes, what they did is they carved a spiral on a rock. They strategically went to a spot where the sun is hitting it just right, and on a boulder, and then they put on top of this boulder a flat rock. This flat rock's been sitting there for who knows how long, but it's been sitting there a long time, and every time during the solstices and during the equinox, that sun will hit that rock, and it will cast a shadow of a pyramid, and it will either start from up top of the spiral and cut through the spiral and go down into the ground, or it will come up from the ground and back through the spiral and up. So basically, they're tracking these things. Now, when I was watching them in 2005 and 6 out there for 2 years, I noticed that, you know, like I said, during the equinox, they were here and sometimes and then they were gone. But it's not to say that they weren't going somewhere else. But I think they could be going to either, you know, some of these other mountains out here. In my opinion, these things are following the sun's energy, because these mountains around the valley here are made by fault lines. And fault lines generate energy. And in studying these things in 2004, I've been watching the lights. These lights were hanging over a power plant on the east side of South Mountain in Ahwatukee. In studying this, this thing's burrowed down into a fault line. Matter of fact, there used to be a Ho'okam village at that back in the day at that time where the power plant sits today. So those lights clearly were hanging around the Indian villages right there in where the power plant is. So in studying this, you know, those things, they steam. It's weird. They pop in, they glow red and orange and white, and then all of a sudden it's like smoke or steam or something, you know, and it's just weird, and then they just go out. Well, in studying this stuff, you know, and because the Native Americans say these things go on the ground. Well, if they're going in the ground, well, why are they going there? You know, what makes this mountain so special? And I believe it's the fault line. It's the energy. I believe they're able to condense this particle, make it an H3O type situation, you know, kind of like a nuclear effect or nuclear fusion, if you will. So it basically has everything to do about energy.
All right. We have a break coming up, and I'm going to open the telephone lines after the break. So if you have a question or if you have a comment for Jeff, you may call the toll-free line. The telephone number, as always, 1-800-289-1092. We'll be back.
Can't you see? Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back. We're talking with Jeff Woolline, and in this second hour, as always, I shall open the telephone lines. And Jeff,
let's just go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hello. It's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario. IPA's director for this area.
I know.
And how are you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I've heard the theory that UFOs tend to hang around power sources also, and I wanted to get to your opinion on if somebody were to stake out, let's say, a nuclear power plant, a hydroelectric station, or any kind of other power source, do you think one would be very likely to be able to catch UFOs, perhaps on a camcorder or on a photo camera, if they let you to photograph them?
Yes, absolutely. These things are drawn to power plants, power sources. You know, it's interesting. Yeah, I've seen pictures. We have a big nuclear power plant out here, and I've seen photographs of these colored lights hanging over that nuclear power plant there. And in 2004, these things were definitely attracted to that power plant, the electrical power plant on the east side of South Mountain in Ahwatukee. So absolutely, yes, especially, you know, if that power plant's burrowed down into a fault line, if there's a mountain around anywhere, absolutely, yes.
Well, I ask that because 5 miles from my town we have a hydroelectric station, and from the mid to late 90s, before people used to fish around there all the time, and they used to see UFOs in that area, orbs and the occasional flying saucer, and when people started reporting these UFOs in the late 1990s, for some reason they started banning fishing in that area, and so there haven't been any UFO reports from the hydroelectric station since there's no fishing there. People had no reason to go there. So I wanted to know that if I would stake that out, do you think I might be able to come, maybe send our IPAS president Dick Criswell some juicy material on UFOs?
Yes, that'd be wonderful. That'd be great. You know, I think, in my opinion, the time to stake out those power plants is during the summer, you know, when people are mostly using up the electricity, when the energy is high. You know, mm-hmm. That's the time to really stake out these power plants.
So when it gets up to about 30 degrees, 35 degrees up here, which would be somewhere between 90 and 100 degrees, it'd be a perfect day to go stake out the power plant and look for some UFOs.
Oh, sure, yeah, you know, and just stick with it, you know, give or take, you know, 3-6 months, you know, I mean, just don't give up on it, you know, I mean, if you feel that there might be something there, go with your gut feeling. That's basically all I did, you know, I went on a gut feeling, and this is what I came up with. So if you have a feeling about that, yes, investigate it and stick with it.
All right, thanks very much.
Let me make a suggestion, something to think about. If you plan on staking out any power plant in Canada or the USA with a video camera, you are probably in Canada going to get to explain that to the RCMP.
Well, we have the OPP up here.
And then in the United States, depending on where you are, the local sheriff, maybe even the FBI, you've got to be very careful.
Yeah, you know, perfect example. They did it to me when I was standing on Mesa Community College out here. That's when I was filming the lights. I was way up there on the bleachers there of the grandstand, overlooking, you know, the power plant there. And my camera isn't faced toward, you know, the college game that's going on. It's faced somewhere else. And, you know, I had police, you know, come up and ask me, okay, what are you doing, you know? And sometimes the police helicopter would fly around and things, you know. So if you are going to go into that, you know, be prepared.
All right, guys, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Kevin.
Oh, thank you for calling.
1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. Yeah, you know, we live in such times. People since September the 11th event, people really all over the United States and Canada, and I would suspect in a lot of European countries as well, tend to report to the police anyone they see doing anything that seems different.
And that's so true, Kevin. You know, me and my son got the cops called on us sitting in a field one day. We just got off the mountain, and it was around 5:30, and that's like the hot time to see them. And we were sitting in a field, you know, in on the ground, you know, where the streets are and stuff, just sitting there. And next thing we know, we got a cop rolling up on us and saying, "Well, we saw, you know, somebody called on you because we saw you sitting out here. Wanted to make sure you're okay, you know." So there's been a lot of times, you know, when people are just, you know, they're nosy because they don't know what you're doing. You're out there with a camera. You're not doing anything. So it's just in today's day and age, you know.
Oh yeah, we live in strange times. All right, let's go back to the phone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, thanks for calling.
This is Nathan.
Hey, Nathan, what's up, bud?
I finally got on. Good.
Hey, that's wonderful. This is the guy that filmed it up there at South Mountain there, Kev.
Well, Nathan, I have watched your interview with Jeff on his website. And you had a rather strange experience. What do you make of it?
Well, Kevin, I talked to you before about that 97 sighting.
Yeah.
Remember? And it has to deal with, you know, with what the Ho'okam were dealing with over 1,000 years ago. You know, I was talking to Jeff. We were up on the mountain, and I came to the conclusion that when he pointed out this particular petroglyph with three circles and lines connected together, that's exactly what I seen that flew over South Mountain that evening on the 13th of 97. Not the lights that were seen in the East Valley, but the other ship, if you will, that flew over. That's what I seen. I thought I seen the Phoenix lights, when in fact I didn't. I seen something completely different, which was one solid object. And to make out of what I seen on a few weeks ago on Mother's Day, we went up to Javelina Trail. We got up there in the morning. I was with my cousin, and I met Jeff and his family, and we were walking down Javelina Trail, and we left the mountain. I decided to take my cousin Dennis over to my residence, where I live, just south of 7th and South Mountain Avenue. And I turned back to the mountain, and I looked, and there was something above the mountain. It looked like a balloon. I mean, you really couldn't see an exact shape to it, but it caught my eye. And right away, I knew I was looking at something.
All right. Now, you said like a balloon.
It just caught my eye. I mean, it didn't look like a balloon, but it caught my eye. I mean, from far away, from where I used to live in South Phoenix, from South Mountain Park, it's a good 2 miles. I really couldn't make out what I was looking at, but I knew in my mind that what I was looking at wasn't ordinary, if you will.
All right. And so you went back to South Mountain with your cousin.
Well, I drove into the mountain, and the closer we got, you could see it looked like balloons at first, Kevin. It really did, but this thing began to change formation.
Okay, you suddenly got very muffled. We can't hear you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, this thing was brilliant, Kevin. It looked like a bunch of balloons connected together, as if you would see it like on a float on a parade or something. That's what I seen it first. That's what it appeared to me at first. But mind you, it began to change shape. And initially, it was above South Mountain. And as we got closer to South Mountain, this thing descended to us, came to us, as if it knew that we were acknowledging it, came to us, and it was just absolutely brilliant. It was absolutely amazing. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And
What shapes did it change into?
Multiple shapes. It appeared to look like my cousin said, a dog, if you will, like a jellyfish. I mean, we were hoping what we were looking at were balloons, but this thing wouldn't jar like balloons would.
All right, now, you got all this on videotape?
Yes, sir.
All right. And Jeff, are you going...
I'm sorry?
Jeff, are you going to put that on your site?
Yeah, we got a bad connection or something. Either Nate's breaking up or you're breaking up, but it's really bad. So, yeah, that sighting is on my website there. It's got Nate's interview on seeingufosoverphoenix.com. If you go to Nate's interview, it goes into his interview, and then right above it, it's got music video with sighting. And if you click it, it shows the interview, and then it shows the sighting that he's seen. And I got a couple still photographs up there that shows, you know, kind of how it's changing shape, you know, so.
Okay, but now the video that he's talking about, you have not put the video of the sighting up there.
The entire video, no.
Okay. Are we going to get to see that?
We got a bad connection. It's like kind of breaking up. But yeah, it's on there. Not the entire sighting, but you know all the good parts.
Yeah.
You know, I put it in that little music video there, and it shows on how it was suspended in air there, and how it changes color and changes shape, and basically does its own thing.
Okay. Well, Nate, where do you go from here? What's in the future now for you?
Well,
Is it Nate or Nat?
Nathan.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So where do you go from here?
Well, I believe this is something very... This is canonical. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. I mean, this is biblical, what we're dealing with, I believe.
Why?
I believe that if you read the Bible, I mean, I believe that these were the angels that were cast down from heaven.
Why do you believe that?
It's just my faith. It's just what I feel, what God's trying to tell me, I believe. Because when I didn't tell you this, but when I was viewing this, I began to question what I was looking at because, like I said, this was not ballooned. And when I began to pray to God, and I asked what I was looking at, are you God? Are you my Lord God? Are you my Lord Jesus Christ? It began to change color, and it turned black, and it became transparent. And then that's when it started looking like a snake. And you can see, like a face of a serpent at the very top of it. When you go look on the website, it's amazing footage. People are going to say that it's balloons, but unfortunately, it's not balloons at all. I mean, there's a gentleman, an author by the name of Paul Christopher, who wrote Alien Intervention. I think he lives here in Arizona. He's got a P.O. box addressed to Glendale, but I would love to talk to the guy if you happen to know who he is, because everything that he has written in his book, Alien Intervention, pretty much coincides with what... we're dealing with.
What's the name again?
Paul Christopher.
I have not run into that name before, but I'll check.
The name of the book is Alien Intervention.
All right.
It's a the spiritual mission of UFOs.
What if it turns out that these are simply energy phenomena?
I would have to disagree with you, bud. I really do. I mean, because what Jeff has researched since day one, being able to figure out what these lights are actually what the Holcomb Indians were dealing with. And, you know, I truly believe that what's the South Mountain, it's not just energy phenomena. It's actually the sun god, if you will, and his entourage that are showing themselves to us, because we are there looking for them, and they're showing themselves to us. Jeff's been seeing it for years, and I wanted to see it, and lo and behold, it...
Well, I've seen two of them on two separate occasions. I've seen them.
Yes.
But I didn't get the impression at all that it was, and I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm just saying it strikes people in different ways. I didn't get the impression that I was looking at anything biblical.
Mm-hmm. Well, when the thing changes color and it manifests itself, then you begin to have more of an open mind at what you're looking at, Kevin.
Well, I saw it change colors.
It did.
I saw it change colors.
And orange. This is yellow and orange. Brilliant colors. Maybe just a little bit of black, but when I began to pray, it turned black, more or less. And, like, the cavity of it, I mean, it just got, it filled in with black. And it looks like balloons. To the untrained eye, it looks like balloons. But when you actually see it frame by frame and you slow it down and you zoom in on it, it's absolutely amazing what I recorded. Absolutely amazing. I'm still in awe of what I recorded. I mean, this blows away what I had seen back in 97. Because this was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing event that occurred.
Well, Nathan, I wish you all the best in your continued sky watching, and I look forward to seeing more videos from you. And
well, thank you very much.
I think there's a phenomenon that is taking place in the Phoenix area, and mm-hmm. it's been taking place apparently for centuries. And yes. I think it's what you guys are up to is you know is important. It's you know documenting what is happening. And I want to thank you for the call.
Oh, my pleasure. But keep in mind, Kevin, these humanoids that are flying around are also being seen in Mexico and Asia and other parts of the world.
Yes, that is true. That is true.
Okay,
all right. Thanks
care.
For the call. Well, I what a surprise. I did not know that Nathan would call, but I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
And how is the connection now?
Well, it's still kind of shaky.
All right. Well, when we have a break coming up in about 10 minutes, and during that break we'll reestablish connection with you. But, I think when people see something, it strikes different people different ways. I don't dispute or denigrate Nathan saying that, you know, this is something that to him he thinks is biblical. But it did not strike me that way, and I've seen them. Maybe it will someday. I don't know. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yeah, Brent.
Jeff, I hate to sound like a broken record, but have you tried music with them yet to see if they respond to music?
I'm sorry, I can barely hear him.
Yeah, he said, have you tried music with these things yet?
Have I tried the what?
Music.
Oh, yeah. The flute players, you know. Look at the typical Indian, you know, flute player or whatnot. You know, you see these art symbols all over, you know, pretty much the Southwest and stuff, where an Indian, and he's got a flute, but he's not... His flute isn't up in the air, it's down, it's pointed down to the ground. And I think it's very significant. I think, you know, the artist is trying to tell you that, you know, what he's doing is he's raising the spirits up, you know, through music, you know. If he was just playing.
But have you tried it?
I'm sorry?
Have you tried it?
You know, I do have a flute, and I do go out there and I play music for him, you know. But, you know, I didn't have to do any of that stuff, you know, before I saw him, you know. So I'm just basically testing it, you know, and just trying to amuse him and, you know, seeing what happens, you know. But, yes, I do go out there a lot with the flute. Mm-hmm.
You might want to think about trying that on your program when you go video, Kevin.
Yes, good idea.
Okay.
Good idea. Well, thanks for the call. All right.
Sure, I can bring my flute, sure.
Yeah, but can you play?
I'm sorry?
Can you play?
Well, no, but, you know, I guess I don't think these things are a critic, so.
Maybe they are. Maybe they haven't shown up as a result of you playing.
Yeah, maybe it stinks.
All right, let's go back to the phone. Okay. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Thanks for having Jeff on again. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I'm sorry, but I can barely hear you, and it's kind of breaking up.
Yeah, I'll try to speak up. Has anything new or exciting happened since the last time you've been on Kevin's show? I mean, any of, like, any new shapes that these humanoids, these little critters, have been showing?
Any new shapes?
Could you repeat that for me, Kevin?
Yeah, we're going to have to reestablish contact. Look, have you noticed any new shapes?
Any new shapes?
Right.
I'm sorry. Any new...
Yeah. Okay. We're just going to reestablish contact with Jeff because obviously we can't go on that way. So bear with me as we hang up on Jeff, and we'll see what happens here. All right, let's see if, yeah, there we go. All right, and then if you push, which button do you push? Okay, that one. All right, let's see if we've got Jeff back with us. I don't think we do. Jeff, are you back with us?
Yeah, it's still breaking up. I wonder if it's this phone. I don't know. So.
It may be. All right, let's go to the telephone and caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? All right, they didn't want to talk to us. If you don't want to talk to us, don't call us, okay?
What was that last caller's question?
Have you noticed any new shapes?
Any new shapes? As far as, like, these things changing shapes?
Right.
Like that?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, that Nate's last sighting there, some of it resembled a lot of stuff that I filmed before, that I've seen before. But that last, excuse me, that last second there, if you look at it, man, it really looks like it's got two eyes and it's got a mouth there and it's got, you know, like these two arms that are coming down and it's got like this body shell in it and it really looks like, you know, some kind of alien thing. So, yeah, they are taking different shapes and in my opinion, it's only a matter of time when one's going to turn, you know, just like a man or a person. You know, that's the future I see with these things, you know, because the rock art clearly shows this. The rock art clearly shows them things, you know, looking like people. And, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg on things to come. There are so many other life forms, in my opinion, that are still lying in dormant, man, that are just waiting to come out. I think as years progress, as we get closer to 2012, you're going to see a lot of activity. I think in these next few years... the city of Phoenix is going to have an eye awakening experience.
All right, let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Ryan in Washington.
Yeah, Ryan.
I was just wondering, I wonder if we could point some kind of instrumentation at these things, like some kind of antenna or electrical device or something scientifically. Like, I know these things they happen on rare occasions, but I was wondering maybe there's some kind of, I mean, we're smart, we're human beings, we may not be the smartest thing ever, but there's got to be something maybe there's some kind of some kind of signal that they're putting out, like.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. What about that, Jeff?
Well, he was kind of breaking up. Could you?
What about some instrumentation, some type of electrical instruments to measure these things, see what kind of signals they may be putting off, et cetera?
Signals. As far as flashing lights?
Any kind of electrical signal. Any kind. Maybe they're trying to communicate.
Boy, it's really breaking up. I think you're trying to ask me if they communicate by signals. I think in a way, yeah. You know, when I was living at South Mountain there, my girlfriend bought me this huge spotlight, man, and I could hit that mountain from baseline or from southern there. And whenever I started seeing these blue lights, you know, popping up, you know, where lights aren't supposed to be at, I'd shoot a beam out there, you know, I'd flicker back at them and stuff. And I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but they'd kind of flicker back at me, you know. And it was kind of like a game, it seemed like. But as far as noise making or anything like that, these things are completely silent. And I just think if you pay attention, you know, I think if you just keep your eyes in the skies, I think, you know, you're more likely to see one than to...
Yeah, but what about taking some sort of instrument out there to see if you can pick up any kind of electrical signals?
Oh, okay, like a Geiger counter?
Well, a Geiger counter, a radio receiver?
Sure, yes. Yes, I believe that's very possible because, you know, I'm not the only one that was watching this. There's somebody else out there watching this also, and they're not talking about this. There's black helicopters flying around, there's white airplanes flying around, and they're monitoring this stuff. They're actually, they know. It's very interesting. A black helicopter would seem to fly around this one spot out there on the mountain, and then like 5 minutes later, one would leave from that same spot. Now, here's my take on it. When these airplanes started hanging around my apartment and real close, you know, I'm looking at them, sometimes they have these black balls on the bottom of it, like the black spears or whatnot, and I think that's some kind of, like, heat. I think when these things is either going to approach the mountain or getting ready to come out of the mountain, I think energy. I think you'll be able to see this maybe on infrared or something like that.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
And we are back. Jeff, we have
a caller on hold, so let's go straight to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? All right, well, we'll look that one up and block it. All right, the telephone number is 1-800-289-1092, 1-800-289-1092. It's toll-free. If I'm going to pay for it, please stay on hold when I put you there. You can hear the show in the background. And as we can, we will bring you online. There are a lot of people. The reason I say that, look, I'm not just trying to be nasty about this. We get in any show, Jeff, we'll have over 100 people try to call in during any show. Sometimes, you know, like 170 will try to call in. Now, we have an hour in which to get as many calls in as we can. So the people that we bring online, we have to have time for them to say what they want to say, and then there has to be time for you to respond to it. Obviously, I can't get 170 people in an hour. We want to get as many as we can. Therefore, when I put you on hold, please stay on hold until I can bring you online. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Colin calling from New York.
Hi, Colin.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's been a while since you called us.
Yeah, I called a couple of times over the last week, and I wanted to corroborate what you guys had said about this. What I had seen was a ring, and in broad daylight, it was very, like, translucent. This goes back to last fall. September was the first one. I was by myself, taking a rest. As I was walking, my hip was bothering me. Sitting on a bench there, the light next to the bench started freaking out, like lights do around me sometimes, which I noticed. I always dismiss it as, because I understand sodium lights, as they expire, go through these, like, phases of going on and off. And that's what I've always thought. I just notice all the lights that are breaking. And, well, this thing started freaking out. And then I look up in the air, and I see this ring up there. The only reason I picked it out was because clouds were moving as they do in the air, and I picked up the shape of it staying still, and it was like almost transparent. And what I noticed about it was like a donut shape, but inside of it, it had a concentric, same color, translucent circle in the middle of it. And it just stayed fixed over me for a couple hundred feet. I wound up dismissing it. I looked at it for a little while. I said, yeah, what can you do for my hip to it, like kind of wising off to it mentally in my head. And then I just got up, and I had to get back to my son's practice, and I was on the other end of the park. This is in broad daylight in the less populated area of this park. And oddly, across on the other peninsula, there is a power plant for the independent village, Freeport, that's there. But it's, you know, just a power plant for that village. But, all right, so then I dismissed it. And then later that fall, I was walking with my daughter at my son's practice there, but it was dark out under the lights, and it was red that time. And she noticed it, and I noticed it, and it came at a walking pace over us. In the same exact area, the same exact spot where I had seen it at the bench, just that we were walking on the path and it came over us, and she noticed it. And at first, I thought it was a helicopter. It wasn't making any noise. It was only a couple hundred feet up in the air. And what was, I couldn't dismiss it now. My 8-year-old girl and I had seen it together, and I couldn't say, oh, yeah, whatever. You know, I like to dismiss things because I just don't know how to make sense of them, so I just wind up having to move on with your life. You know, you got a lot of things to do. But the thing about it this time, when it circled around us and stayed fixed right over us, and it just kind of walked at our pace, it went with us at our pace, stayed fixed in our gaze above us. And then, as I said, we should just say hi to it. She was wondering if we were going to get taken. She said she was scared, and I was trying to settle her because I didn't know how to make sense of it. And I just said, listen, you know, it's probably not something that's going to hurt us, and it's probably something that we should just say hello to and welcome to where we are. And we should just keep going about our business. And that's exactly what we did. And when we went to go make the next turn on the path, this thing took off into the horizon over the west. It gained the horizon faster than anything could possibly gain the horizon, any vehicle that we know of. I mean, it was shot like a flash of light just went out into, and it made no noise both times. And I just wanted to corroborate, and it was candy apple red. The like you said, the second time it was red, and it was the same shape, a concentric circle and a ring around, like a donut. And the first time it was very transparent. I barely could see it. And the only reason I picked it up was because of the cloud movement, and I was sitting still at a bench, you know. But I wanted to call up, and I was wondering if Jeff or you had seen them move away in that fashion. Like, I mean, this thing, like, zipped out of the picture fast.
I did not. The ones that I saw were still there when I had to go back into the office and go back to work.
Right.
What about you, Jeff?
The first one stayed still, and I just kind of got tired of looking at it, and I was like, I got to get back to my son's practice, you know, and I just kind of dismissed it. But the second time, when I expressed goodwill towards it or whatever with my daughter, and she was very upset, and we only talked about it one time since because I don't want to, you know, burden her with thing. You know, she's get, you know, it's got to be hard on a young mind. To, you know, your imagination is fertile at that age, and you can go all kinds of ways with such a thing. And so I try to dismiss it and play it as quietly as possible, as not to worry her. You know, but
yeah.
Something I think about all the time. You know.
Hey, thanks for the call.
All right, thanks.
All right. Sounds like Colin is doing exactly the right thing to settle his daughter down. I don't think that any of this stuff is something that anybody should panic about. I really don't. Just because it's different is no reason to panic. Jeff, Colin asked about the second sighting that he had, and this thing just took off at a speed greater than anything he had ever seen. Have you ever seen them do that?
I'm having phone problems. Have I seen them do what?
Have you seen them take off at a speed greater than any airplane that you've ever seen?
Oh, you know, I have seen something like that. You know, when it left the mountain, it went real slow. But as soon as it got, I don't know, maybe a few hundred feet or something, all of a sudden, boom, takes off, you know, pew. So, yeah, you know, I have seen them, you know, cruise real fast. Either that or one will come up next to another one. Like, one will fly right over another one, like, real kind of fast, you know. So.
Now, he said that he saw the second sighting was sort of a donut shape. And but it was candy apple red. What's the deal with the candy apple red? I mean, it seems to show up a lot.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? These things do like take a lot of colors, and red and white and yellow seems to be the popular ones. You know, the blue ones are always cool too.
What's the most common color that you see? What do you see most often?
As far as colors, I'd have to say red. There's a lot of red. A lot of red. There's a lot of black, too. So.
So what do you think is the deal with that?
You know, in my opinion, in studying this, it's like same entity, same type of life form, just different races, if you will. For instance, if we start like on the east side of South Mountain, now one side over there will be, for instance, like a crooked snake, okay? Now that's his spot, that's his door, okay? And we should find sacred shrines and sacred petroglyphs right around that crack somewhere. And then if you walk maybe two blocks, you know, going west, going to another part of the mountain, you'll find another crack, another crevice, and that will be another entity door. You know, like a cross with a circle in the middle, you know. And then if you walk two or three blocks or a few miles up the road or whatnot, you'll find another crack, another big crevice that starts from the tip of the mountain all the way to the bottom, and you'll find petroglyphs, and that'll be like a serpent, you know, it'll be a snake. So we have different entities, different, like, life forms or whatever, but the same type of race, I guess, or whatever, same supernatural beings. Different doorways, different species, different appearances. So if we have like a red snake coming out over here, then, you know, maybe, of course, they change colors too. They change shape. They can look like anything they want, basically. But from what I've come to learn from watching this is each snake or tadpole or crooked snake or crooked cross or whatnot, you know, has a specific door on the mountain. You know, they like a certain spot, so.
Now, what significance is there to the shapes they take, like the one that takes the shape of a snake or the one that takes the shape of a cross? What's the significance of the shapes, do you think?
Well, I think, like I said before, you know, they take many shapes, but it's like that one single shape or whatever is the one that they always go back to. If you notice on Nate's sighting, you know, it looks, you know, like a cluster, and then all of a sudden it goes into a snake, you know, it's a snake formation there, you know. And so it changes. It goes from, I don't know, like a cluster or a blob, and then it goes into what it originally looks like. And then it'll change into something else, and then it'll go back into what it looks like, and then it'll turn into something else, and then go right back to what it's originally supposed to look like. That's just my guess on it from watching these things.
Now, you said you had seen them. Well, we've got a break coming up, so I'll go ahead and ask the question, but we'll have to get you to answer it after the break. You've seen one fly right over another one. Have you ever seen them merge? I think we may have time for a short answer. Have you seen them merge, two of them merge into one blob?
You know, that's hard to say. I think so, but I can't put a picture on it. Now, at nighttime, at the lights, yeah, you know, you can see them connect together like a barbell up there, and then you'll see two lights merge into one light. That's very common. Very common.
All right. We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this, and we will take your calls, 1-800-289-1092.
most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
All right, we are on final approach. We only have a few minutes left in this show, so let me encourage you, if you plan to call us, you need to do so right now, 1-800-289-1092.
You know, Jeff, I made that statement about how many people try to call in. We only have an hour where we take the telephone calls, and lots of people try to call in, and right now I'm running the count on it, 148 people so far have tried to call in.
Well, I wish I could get to all of them.
Well, I wish we could, but as I said, 149.
Hmm.
It's running the count on it right now. But as I said, we have to give people that call in, and we bring them online, we have to give them time to say what they're going to say and ask the question they're going to ask. And then you have to have time to respond to it. And that's why, with so many people trying to get in, if you get put on hold, and then while you're on hold, you hang up, there is a telephone line that is not available for someone to call in. That's why I say if you do that, there's a good chance we'll block you for several days. Don't do it. If you get put on hold, stay there. 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. It is toll-free throughout the United States and Canada. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Yeah, you said Bob?
Uh-huh.
All right, Bob, what's on your mind?
I had a question for Jeff.
All right, go ahead.
I was wondering if maybe some of these beings were from, the same time and space of, people where they go when they die or something like that. Like, is any of this have to do with life after death or ghost spirits or anything like that? Thanks.
All right, thanks for the call. What do you think, Jeff? Does any of this have to do with spirits, the spirit world, like life after death kind of thing?
Hmm. Yeah, a lot of people would draw to that conclusion. Yes, this is part of the Creator. It's part of, it's basically our history here, as far as I'm concerned. This is the spirit world. The Indians talk about talking to their spirits on the mountains. Well, this is it. This is what they're talking about. These spirits here. They're not on peyote, and they're not, up there in a trance or whatnot. Now, some of them would do that, to see these spirits after the fact. But the original intent to go see these spirits was to go see these life forms.
So when we hear the Indian legends or myth or whatever, I don't know what to call them, but the ancient stories, and they talk about talking to the spirits, you think that it's real, it's not myth, it's real, and these are the things that they were talking about communicating with.
Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. Once you sit and really pay attention and you study and you watch this mountain and you look at all the folklore and Indian legends and stuff, it really knocks you through a loop. You come to find out that, wait a minute, hold the phone, maybe the Indians were onto something. Maybe, you know, they weren't, you know, on peyote. Maybe they really was in contact with something here in these hills.
And do you think they actually were able to communicate with these things?
Absolutely. You know, as far as the rock art is concerned up here, there was some kind of communication, yes. And it would go as far as breeding. You know, these things interacted with females out here and producing giants. You know, we find petroglyphs out here that are clearly giant form. And I find some of these rocks out here that are stone-like blocks for pyramids. You know, the same kind of stuff we find in Mexico, I believe, was here in Phoenix also.
Well, why haven't we found any of the pyramids?
That's interesting. You know, I was looking at that myself. I'm thinking, you know, because that's the original story here. The Mayans were clearly here, according to the Indians and the interpretations. The Mayans were clearly here. This is one of the spots where the Mayans was supposedly kept the gold. That was the reason why the Spanish conquistadors, you know, came over and conquered Mexico. Well, they also came over here to Arizona, and they hit a few other spots, too, and they were looking for the gold. Idols, you know, for these things. So,
you know why the Spaniards left?
Why is that, Kevin?
They made it to Phoenix and found out they had made it to North Hell, and there was no
yeah.
water, and they left.
That's it, buddy. It's hot here, I tell you.
It was like an oven today, and this is just the beginning. I bet we go over 120 degrees before too many more days. You know, we're into that time of the year when we just want it to cool down to 100 degrees at nighttime. And people around the world can't imagine that. We just would like for it to cool down to 100 degrees. At nighttime, for those who are who use the centigrade, we were at about 43 degrees today. About 43 degrees, and that's just the beginning. It's getting hotter.
Yeah, and when you talk to some Indians down here, some tribes, they tell you that the original Sun Devils was not a football team.
What do they say?
He was one of these creatures here. They actually, some Indians, they you know, they outright, they tell them. The rumor has it, there's a cave up here that's called the Devil's Cave. And people who go in it, you know, they come out a different person. So there's a lot of research, a lot of study I'm still doing on this mountain up here. Apparently, Marcos de Gracia, who came over here in the 20th century or whatnot, made some crosses up here. And
well, the 20th century was just a decade ago.
Well, in the 16th century, my bad.
Listen, yeah, we are just about out of time. Tell people your web address.
Well, I got two of them. I have the Seen UFOs Over Phoenix, SEEN UFOs with an S over Phoenix.com. And if you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at petroglyphsinthesky.com. There should be a little link there to email me with any UFO stories or anything that you might want to let me know about, you know, or any ideas, any thoughts, you know, because I'm open for suggestions. So if you have any takes on anything about what's going on, I'd love to hear from you.
All right. Jeff, I want to thank you for being with us again. As always, it has been fascinating. I'm looking forward to us doing, it'll be part pre-recorded, and then that'll be shown, video shown during a live show that we do with you. And you're going to get to meet that other witness as well. And
that's
you'll
wonderful.
Get to see that video. It's fascinating.
Stay on the line with me for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we've run out of time. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.